Good morning. It's Central Standard, and I'm Laura Ziegler. Over the last 2 years, a near record number of children have entered the foster care system in Kansas and Missouri. The number of youngsters in foster care actually dropped slightly, but remains staggeringly high, near 10,000. And it's a trend, experts say, that fewer young people are actually leaving foster care and fewer kids are being adopted. Today on Central Standard, we're going to explore some of this information with Carrie Duke. She's the director of volunteer programs at CASA in Jackson County. That's the court-appointed special advocate organization many of you have probably heard of. And Lois Rice, who's the executive director of CASA for Johnson and Wyandotte County. Thanks, both of you, for being with us.
Good morning.
Good morning, Laura.
All right, let's just start out sort of laying out this very important issue. Is it, in fact, a trend, as I read when I was looking into this subject, that more young people are actually staying longer in foster care, fewer are being adopted, and if so, why?
Yes, it actually is. In Jackson County alone, we have seen a 5% increase in the number of children coming into care over the last 5 years, which means that we are then going to have larger numbers of children who do not leave care with a permanent family situation. They are actually just aging out on their own from our system.
Different in Johnson,
Wyandotte? No, I think it's very similar. We've actually, since 2010, there's been a 16% increase in the number of children coming into the foster care system in the two counties that we serve in Johnson and Wyandotte County. So the results would be the same, especially the children who come in at an older age are more at risk for turning 18 or aging out of the system. If they come in to foster care when they're 14 or 15, the opportunities to be adopted or to have a legal guardianship arrangement for their situation is much more limited than it is for a 6 or a 10-year-old child.
Well, let's just back up for 1 second. Why are we seeing more children come into the system?
Well, there's
probably a variety of reasons,
but there are certainly things in the last few years with the economic downturn that the entire country faced, and here locally as well. That's when we started to see the increase back in 2009 and 2010 is when the numbers started to increase, and they have really either obviously maintained or continued to grow. And I know we're seeing situations involving families are just so stressed. Even if they are employed, many times they're employed where at a lower wage job than before. So they may have two or three jobs that they're trying to maintain. That leaves a lot of time for the children to not necessarily have parental care and oversight, but the families are many times doing the best they can in those situations. Drugs, substance abuse is a situation that we see oftentimes. There's been a significant increase, I know, in Johnson and Wyandotte counties, and I think across the metropolitan area, in the use of heroin. That has really resulted in more children coming into care as well.
Different, anything to add or differentiates that situation in Jackson County?
I think that I would just add that as child abuse and neglect becomes a more prevalent topic in our society, more people are going to be apt to report it. More children are going to be apt to talk about what's going on at home. They feel more comfortable doing so with adults that they feel safe with.
You mentioned abuse and neglect. You didn't really touch on abuse and neglect so much, Carrie. You know, we hear about these most egregious cases. For example, the woman that recently pled guilty to keeping her 10-year-old daughter locked in a closet and starving her down to 32 pounds. There are lots and lots of cases that we don't hear about. Is it true that most of the children that end up in foster care are victims of abuse and neglect?
Yes, I think the neglect is a huge issue, especially here in Jackson County. But along with that neglect follows the abuse situations when parents and families are stressed to the point that they can't feed their kids, they can't get their kids to school. The abuse is going to follow behind that.
Lois, is that true? I mean, I guess what I'm trying to get at is this. It feels like, as I said, we hear about these sort of horrendous stories on the news,
but of the thousands of kids that end up in foster care, there must be a whole range of other situations that cause that child to be taken out of its family.
Well, the stories that end up on in the media are obviously the very, very tip of the iceberg, and they are oftentimes the most unusual, the most extreme situations of abuse. But every day in our community, hundreds, if not thousands, of children are being physically abused. Toddlers who are just learning about how to walk and how to do some self-care skills are being abused physically because they're not able to keep up at the level that their parents are expecting. So some of it is unrealistic expectations of the child's age and what their development should be. So those children are coming into care with severe bruises, severe broken bones, requiring medical treatment and hospitalization, severe physical abuse inflicted, in addition to sexual abuse, including rape and incest. Those are the situations that a number of children, many children, come into. But as Carrie said, neglect is the most common of the circumstances that the children are undergoing. They're not going to school. They're not having. They're being left alone for long periods of time, unsupervised, at an age when they're not capable of taking care of themselves. From time to time, we hear those. When we hear a 3-year-old being wandering the streets of the city, and not knowing how that happened and how that child was able to get out of the house undetected. So again, those are how the authorities, the Department of Child Welfare, has to become involved when those situations come to their attention.
How many situations are there where these authorities don't know for a long time? And what's the most common way that authorities will find out? Carrie?
I think in a lot of families it does go undetected for long periods of time. A lot of times when children go to school, that's when things start coming to the surface. Teachers identify, social workers identify, doctors and health clinics are also people who do a lot of hotlining when children come in for emergency situations or even just regular visits.
Mm-hmm. And April is actually Child Abuse Awareness and Prevention Month. So This is a time of year where we try to bring awareness to the community at large that we all have a responsibility to be involved in protecting our children. And there are steps that every individual can take if they see or hear or concerned about a child's safety. They can contact their local child welfare office, and that those professionals are trained to delve into that situation and to get the facts and determine if it's safe for that child to remain in care or not.
So if I see something either in my neighborhood or in a public setting that is suspicious to me or I have questions about, I shouldn't hesitate to call an authority.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think
not.
Some people may, there's this privacy thing where you don't want to get involved in somebody else's situation. We don't want to be in a situation where we're trying to question somebody else's kind of discipline or how they're running their family. But you're saying trust your gut, basically, trust your intuition.
Right. I mean, there's no harm in calling. If that's not the situation, then they will work that out and the family will be allowed to go on as normal. But if there is a problem, it will be identified and those children can be placed into a safe environment and that family can receive the help that it needs to take care of the problem.
Now, Missouri and Kansas have different laws regulating when a child is taken out of, when a child ages out of foster care. How does that affect the overall situation? Kansas has changed recently.
Well, in 2009, Kansas changed from the child being released from foster care when they turn 21, and they reduced that down to 18. So children who are in the foster care system, and as they become 16, 17, 18, if they don't have a permanent home, don't have a adoptive home or a legal guardian home in which they can go to, they are becoming adult once they turn 18. So they are released from the child welfare and the court system upon their, basically upon their 18th birthday or when they finish high school that May.
And that's fairly recent, but is there data about what happens to those kids? 18 is pretty young to be released out as a fully independent adult, especially if you've had a difficult adolescence.
Definitely. I mean, we all know that adolescence is a time of tremendous change for all youth. Well, they're changing physically, there's sexual changes, they're starting to develop economic and social independence. And so it is very difficult for youth who have maybe been in a somewhat artificial environment in the foster care system to be able to successfully make that transition. So unfortunately, nationally, there is statistics to show that children who turn 18 without a strong support system. And that really is the key. They need a number of adults, strong adults around them who can help them with this transition. But short of that, 35% will become homeless within a couple of years, 25% will be incarcerated, and 40% will become parents by the time they turn 20 years old.
Almost half.
Yes.
And what do you think that's about? Is that about sort of wanting to have somebody to take care of? I mean, if you can't take care of yourself, maybe it's wanting to sort of inflict responsibility. I don't know. Or just the freedom and lack of supervision.
I would think there would be a host of reasons that mm-hmm. we're seeing those kinds. Some of it is that they may not have received the guidance and they don't have that adult or several adults that they can go back to for ongoing support. And so that's where our CASA programs are beneficial to these kids when they're facing this, because once the children are in foster care, they have the opportunity to have a volunteer work with them on a one-on-one basis and get to know their situation in detail. That they can provide, make sure those children are getting the services they need, and they're a stable, reliable adult for mm-hmm. that child. So
I want to talk a little bit about CASA, sure. But first let's talk just generally about Missouri real quickly and what the laws legislate there in terms of aging out of foster care.
Sure.
Carrie Duke.
In Missouri, children can stay under the court's jurisdiction until they are 21, which we see as a real boon for mm-hmm. those kids. We're able to keep their housing in place. We're able to keep their Medicaid in place to help them transition from high school into either the workforce or higher education, if that's what they choose to do. And our volunteers are a big, big part of that. They make sure that when our children are getting ready to age out, they have their Social Security card, their birth certificate. They have some idea of how to fill out a job application, to find housing if need be, working on some type of budget for the money that they're bringing in and how that needs to be dispersed.
Let's talk about the role of CASA as advocates, court-appointed special advocates. You have an integral a role to play in the life of these children, both through the course of their foster care and as they age out. I imagine it differs child to child, case by case, but how does it work in general?
Absolutely. Our volunteers come to us. They're trained before they take a case. And then our job, the court's expectation, is that we advocate for the best interest of those children while they are in the system to make sure that they're safe, to make sure that their basic needs are being met, to make sure that services the court has ordered are being done and the children are participating.
Mm-hmm.
As the children get older, then our volunteers can really help them to understand what they need to do after they age out in order to be productive citizens and to take care of themselves if they don't have those family supports to fall back on.
You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR. If you want to get in on this conversation, if you have any experience with the foster care system, give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or email us at kcur.org, Central Standard. Lois Rice, let's talk about Johnson County, Wyandotte County. Is the role of CASA any different there? You mentioned that they're trained. Do they have to have a special background? What's the time commitment? Who can do it? Is there anybody who can't do it?
We do have a training program for any of our volunteers, people who are interested in becoming a volunteer. There are no specific background requirements other than that you need to be 21 years old. You need to have a heart for children and an ability to have good communication skills. I would say good communication skills, both verbally and in writing, in order to do this. But through our training process, we're able to provide information that will assist you in your role. We also have our professional staff who work very closely with the volunteers to make sure that they're providing the support and the guidance to those volunteers that they need as they are working with the families and the children.
So put me in the courtroom with a CASA volunteer and a child. What am I going to do? Carrie?
When you, in our program, it's a little bit different than from Johnson and Wyandotte County. We have attorneys on staff who are the voice in the courtroom for our children. Our volunteers do get to sit at the table with the attorney. They are the ones who are providing the attorney with information about the child, the last time the child was seen in placement, what's going on with the child's education, what's going on with them medically. That is our volunteers' main job, is to make sure that they have all of that information to give to our attorneys in the courtroom to be able to give to the court.
And how are they relating to the child prior to the court date?
They're visiting with the child, with the youth or the child, on a regular basis, at least once a month, sometimes two or three times a month. They're going to wherever that child lives in order to have those that opportunity to meet with them. They're, you know, maybe helping them with their homework or playing a game of catch with football, whatever they can do to develop a relationship. But they're also then, like Carrie said, getting information about other aspects of that child's life. So they're talking with their teachers, their medical professionals, their daycare providers, anybody who has pieces of information about how that child is doing and what additional educational, medical, or behavioral services that child might need. In our instance in Kansas, we write a written report that goes to the judge. Our volunteers write a report, goes to the judge and the court personnel. Our volunteers do attend the court hearings and have the opportunity to give additional input if needed to the situation.
So I'm relating mainly to the lawyers, not necessarily to the judge and to the child.
Well, our report goes to the judge, as well as to all the other court personnel. The attorneys get the written report that we provide as well. But you're right. Court happens once every 3 or 4 months. So
not oh really, just that infrequently.
Yes, that's how often the court gets, you know, reviews the status of the child's circumstances. And it's typically a pretty short amount of time. It's, you know, 10, 20 minutes that they're going to have on each child's case. So they want to make sure they get as much information as possible to make decisions about what is in the best interest of that child going forward.
A lot at stake in that 10 to 20 minutes.
Definitely.
We only have a few minutes for callers, but let's get some on the phone. Julia from South Kansas City. Julia? You're on the air. Do you have a question?
Yes. I was wondering, you said that it is that a lot of children age out of the system without getting a foster home or a guardianship or a long-term situation. And I was wondering, is that because it's harder to find people who are interested in working with older children, or are there legal reasons that it's difficult to find guardianship or help for an older child?
Julia, let me take your, if you wouldn't mind, please take your answer off the air. Both Carrie and Lois are nodding their heads, so here's your answer.
It is harder to place older youth. Oftentimes those children come into care with very severe behavioral or mental health issues. Some of them are coming in drug addicted, and it's very hard to find homes that are equipped to deal with those children. Or who want to deal with those children. So we do have a harder time placing them, unfortunately.
Lois, anything to add quickly?
I would say that children, the youth who come into care, oftentimes have had years of less than desirable parenting, and they're combining that with the challenges of being an adolescent, like we said before, can really lead to some difficulties that foster parents have. Although we have many, many, many wonderful foster parents who really do a fantastic job of working with these kids and being parents to them. But once in our case, once the youth turns 18, then the foster parents are no longer receiving financial support or legal support to continue to care for the kids.
Let's go to Stuteville. You're on the air. Do you have a question, Mr. Don? I guess we lost him. Let me ask you about a couple of the other issues in terms of funding for foster care. The federal government spends billions of dollars, as I understand it, funding state foster care programs. Like most federal programs, that money varies state by state. Is there a formula for how much federal funding, throwing up your hands, right? Like all federal funding, a Byzantine bureaucracy probably.
Yeah, I'm certainly not an expert in how that federal funding flows.
Well, I guess the question is this. Is there significant federal support for state programs for foster care? Is it lacking? Has it gone away?
Well, I think that certainly both systems, there is always limited public funds. I mean, that's a given.
There's state never, and federal.
Yes, there's never enough. And with the increases that we're seeing in both states in the children coming into care, those public funds have been challenged to keep up with that demand. They certainly have not kept up with that demand. So that's made it harder to be able to properly manage the number of children coming into care.
Here's Tanya from Kansas City. Hi, Tanya.
Hi, thank
Go
you
ahead.
So much. I applaud Central Standard for this program. This foster care topic was the topic of conversation at dinner last night. Our oldest daughter came to us through a kinship care relationship, and then that turned into guardianship, and we were so grateful to be able to adopt her. And she's now 18 and home from college spring break, and I was talking and learning, actually, on your program that Kansas has dropped the age out age from 21 to 18, and was glad to hear Missouri's is higher. But I looked at her last night at dinner and said, we need to do everything we can to raise that back up in Kansas. Just imagine being on your own right now without any support system and what your life would be like. And that prompted her to look at the adopt page, you know, to see all the children that are in Kansas and looking for forever homes. And just our hearts have really kind of been thinking about this process and what we can do in Kansas to embrace these young people at whatever stage, whether it's toddler or school-age children that need a place, a home, and parents to love them and care for them. And so I appreciate your taking the time to talk about this.
Well, thanks, Tanya, and thanks for your involvement with the foster care program. Lois Rice, you have something to say about that? I'm sure you do.
Well, I would also echo your thanks to Tanya for her concern and for what she's doing for her child. I would say if you're concerned and want to see if changes can be made in putting the age, returning the age to 21, that would be something that you could contact your local legislator about, because it's the state legislature that made that decision back in 2009. So they would be the one that could adjust that again.
And in your understanding, what was behind the decision have to do with?
I think it was financial.
Financial budget.
Yeah. And that's why the program that our organization started last year, the Fostering Futures. This is a situation we're given that children in our state are turning 18 and being separated from the foster care and the child welfare system. So we're utilizing our Fostering Futures program, which provides additional training to our current CASA volunteers and really keys them in on helping toning in on specific skill sets that they can work with the children to better prepare for them for that life transition. Things that Carrie referred to before regarding making sure they have their Social Security card and know how to fill out a job application, making sure they can do helping them with FAFSA applications so that they can.
Financial aid for school.
Exactly.
So just so I understand that, is that a CASA program, an additional CASA program that will stay with the kids once they age out?
Many of our CASA volunteers remain with their child, with that youth. When they turn 18, that CASA relationship can continue. We leave that up to the volunteer and the youth, but if the youth sees that as a relationship and we have many of our volunteers who are continuing to provide support and guidance to their youth as they become young adults.
If someone is listening and wants to become involved in the CASA program, what guidance can you provide?
you can visit our website at casakc.org. I would encourage you, if you have any interest at all in helping these children, to give us a call. Talk to us about our volunteer program. See if that's something that you would be interested in doing. There are also lots of other programs in the community, mentoring programs, job programs that the community can reach out and help these youth with.
Yeah, with a growing number of these kids, it sounds like an extremely important function that you guys serve in all these other programs. And I guess we can't thank you enough.
Thank you.
Both
thank
for being you. Here and for what you're doing for our young people. Carrie Duke is the Director of Volunteer Programs for CASA of Jackson County. Lois Rice is the Executive Director of CASA in Johnson and Wyandotte County.